Welcome back, listeners. Thanks for joining us on Millennial Movie Mix. I'm one of your hosts, Sarah, and with me as always is...
I'm Ashley.
Kristen.
And Justin. So, Cruel Intentions is part of our summer of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And my God, is there plenty of sex and drugs in this movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When it comes to Cruel Intentions, who had seen it before?
Oh, not me.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Just Kristen.
I've seen this so many times.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this so many times. I actually got to see this in the theater.
Me
many,
too.
Many times.
What?
One time. I saw it in the theater one time.
Okay.
My friend worked at a theater when I was in high school. And so we got to see lots and lots of movies.
Ooh.
For no money at all.
Oh, I'm so jelly.
What was the rating back then for this movie?
R.
Okay.
This movie came out. I was not 15 yet. It came out like a few months before I turned 15. So I was 14 when this movie came out.
Shit.
But it's okay. I tricked my grandmother into taking me to the theater to see this movie. I had absolutely no idea what this movie was about. The only thing that I knew about this movie is that it had Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Of course.
And I knew that I had to see it. And so I was like, hey, let's go to this movie. And my grandma, it was my dad's mom. And she died, 7 days. Well, 7 days before I was 16, we went to her funeral.
Mm.
And so this was, you know, very close. But this is the same grandma who took me to see Scream in theater.
Oh,
grandma's just like, you can watch whatever.
And Scream 2 in theater.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So she really did not care. And I have absolutely no idea what her thoughts were on the movie or anything. And
because did you discuss it afterwards?
No. Just went to McDonald's and got a Big Mac. But like, my head was fucking reeling. My head was reeling after this
movie.
Mind blown.
At that age, for sure.
So many things. I had so many feelings. I had so many, like, yeah.
Yeah, so my biggest problem with this movie is that I'm supposed to believe these are high schoolers.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I was just going to say,
like,
talk
about complex.
How do you say that this is a coming of age movie when it's like teenagers, like, who have had a huge sexual history before this moment? Like,
right. They're just now seniors or whatever.
And they have all the independence.
This is not
supposed
to be a high school movie. You know, this Cruel Intentions is based on the book, The Liaisons Dangereuses.
Yes, I did hear about that. And 10 years before this movie was made, John Malkovich starred in Dangerous Liaisons.
Yeah, he played the Sebastian role.
Yes.
Yeah, and Glenn Close played the Michelle Pfeiffer role. I mean, Glenn Close played the Sarah Michelle Gellar role. And then Michelle Pfeiffer played the Reese Witherspoon role.
Ah.
Have you guys
seen
that movie?
And then Keanu Reeves played the violin teacher role.
Excuse me?
Yeah, very, very good movie, I think.
Yeah, and Uma Thurman played Cecile.
I think we need to watch this movie and compare them.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that.
A special bonus podcast?
Yeah, I would be okay with this.
So, did you originally wrap your fucking mind around this? This is on stage, and do you know who originated the role of Valmont on stage? Sebastian.
Who?
Mr. Alan Rickman.
Oh my!
No way!
God.
No way! Excuse me.
Way.
Excuse me. Hold up. No.
Way. But he couldn't do it for the movie, so they got John Malkovich instead. John Malkovich, you and Alan Rickman, you are not Ryan Phillippe.
No.
You are not. I'm sorry, but that steam butt scene would not be the same if it had John Malkovich or Alan Rickman.
Oh my.
But that's who did it.
I would love to see both of their performances, though.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman and John Malkovich.
We could definitely do the John Malkovich, but yeah, I don't know where you'd find the Alan Rickman.
I will pay. I'll pay anything. I need to know.
Well, hey, also, they created a musical version of Cruel Intentions.
So weird.
It's called a jukebox musical because they've incorporated songs from the 90s into... Yeah. And so the characters sing not original songs, but songs that were all popular in the 90s. Some that were on the soundtrack, and then others that were huge. And I would love to see it.
So the only, speaking of music, the only nostalgia I really have with this movie is the opening song for this movie, Every You, Every Me by Placebo. I was like, oh my God, this is Placebo.
Yeah. And,
I got into them when I heard some of their, I can't remember. I know it was Running Up That Hill, but I don't know what movie it was, like what movie the trailer was for. So that's how I got into that band, was through movies. So.
Oh, well, I mean, so I loved that song. But of course, Bittersweet Symphony and Colorblind.
Yes, Colorblind.
Yes. Huge.
Yes.
So, yeah. Awesome musical, you know, movie moments in the movie. So, we've got Cruel Intentions, rated R. And I've already told you, Sarah Michelle Gellar. I thought that the other film was going to be the easiest film for connecting to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wrong.
Wrong when you actually have Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy herself.
In the movie. So there's your connection right there. And I said Ryan Felipe. I don't know how you say his last name. But he's in the film. Anybody know any other actors pop up for you?
Reese Witherspoon.
Yes. Okay, here's the thing. Reese Witherspoon and Selma were both in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't believe that.
The Selma Blair pops up tons of places. She is in a great film also. By the guy who directed this film called The Sweetest Thing. I want to watch it with us so bad. But yeah, Selma Blair pops up in so many places. And Reese Witherspoon. Crazy how many roles she's had that have asked her to be different types of people.
She's very talented. And she's gorgeous. Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of Freeway?
No.
I don't think so.
She plays a juvenile delinquent, like hitchhiker, like murderer. And she was like, she's like 16 or 17. Have you heard of Man in the Moon?
No.
No.
Oh my God. She's probably like 13 or 14 in the movie. And she and her older sister fall in love with the same farm boy.
Oh shit.
It's crazy, crazy drama. And then you already said Legally Blonde. Yeah, so totally Reese Witherspoon stands out in the movie.
And then what's the mom's name? I can't remember her name.
Bunny?
Cecile's mom?
Yeah, what's her
name? Yeah, Christine Baranski.
Yes.
Yeah, she's, we would know her from The Grinch.
Yeah.
She's crazy talented in Chicago. She is a singer, actress. I think she was also the best friend on a television show named Sybil, with Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, wow. I didn't know that was Landon information.
And Marcy Green, but I think that's Bunny's daughter. We literally just watched her in American Pie.
Yes, Tara Reid.
Yep.
It is so crazy that Tara Reid was only around for a little bit, and then she like party girled out. But she shows up in American Pie. Cruel Intentions. She's in Van Wilder with Ryan Reynolds. She's in Urban Legend. And she's in The Big Lebowski.
Is she really?
Yeah, she plays Bunny Lebowski in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, shit.
She's the one who wants to, like, give people blowjobs for money or something.
That's right.
You know, I haven't seen that movie.
It's on our list to watch, so we will watch it. But yeah, she pops up in tons of places.
Ooh, let's not forget Sarah Michelle as Daphne in Scooby-Doo. That's how I know her.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
Because I still haven't started Buffy, though I need to.
That's okay. You should. We have plenty of time to do that. We'll have to record your little mini reviews for the podcast.
Yes.
Maybe like, I could we'll have to sit down with you after each season.
We could do a spinoff. Ashley watches Buffy.
That's right. So we have other people we'll talk about throughout. Eric Mabius, who plays Greg. Sean Patrick Thomas, who plays Ronald. Joshua Jackson, who plays Blaine. We've got, the aunt. Sebastian's aunt is played by Louise Fletcher. And she is the Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, my God.
No way. You're totally right. Oh, my God.
Totally different style of personality in this film to that film.
Hell yeah.
She is evil.
She is evil. She might be neutral.
Oh, no. Shut up.
No.
You know that's not true.
We've had this discussion so many times.
All right. So Cruel Intentions was filmed for $10.5 million and it made $75.9 million.
Shit. Jeez. Wow.
So it was a teenage. When you have pretty people starring in this film and you have some of the sex scenes, sexy stuff that you do, like oh my God, like there's a scene between Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Felipe that I think is hotter than any of the actual sex scenes in the movie.
Ryan,
which one? Off the top of my
when
head.
She's all like rubbing on him, like leaving, which talking about, have you
him and Sarah Michelle? Okay.
Yeah. Have you gotten her to sleep with you yet? No.
When she's sitting
on his lap and then like leaves him behind. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's like when you have a movie like that, you're going to make some money and it spawns sequels.
It's spawned sequels?
Yeah, it has like two more sequels to this movie. One of them is a prequel sequel that stars Amy Adams.
What?
Amy Adams?
Amy Adams plays a younger version of Catherine.
Huh. Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So it had some sort of following, and we'll talk about, we'll see why. We'll see what happens. So, oh, before we fucking talk, I forgot about the fucking triggers.
Can't forget triggers.
We got like triggers. A triggering movie.
Okay.
It has some triggers, yeah.
It has some, yeah. So we've got victim shaming, having your nudes leaked, toxic masculinity, drug use, homophobia, objectifying women, racism, sexual assault, feeling used, being used, and death.
Yeah.
So it seems like a short list, but again, like pervasive.
I was going to say short list, but pretty serious things.
Right. Yes.
Like we'll talk about it in a second, but the movie fucking starts off with a bang. I mean.
Yeah, I know it's homophobic slurs in there also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, my first note for this is that's a big cemetery.
Yes.
Yeah.
I should have fucking known someone was going to die. Like,
right? The foreshadowing in that
shit. Yeah, foreshadowing. That's great of the filmmaker. All right, so let's get right into talking about the film and we'll see where we go with Cruel Intentions.
Sebastian, a wealthy teenager, leaves a session with therapist Dr. Regina Greenbaum under a guise of self-improvement before smugly watching as Greenbaum's daughter Marcy wails on the phone after nude photographs of her taken by Sebastian are leaked online. He returns to an upscale New York City mansion where his socially popular stepsister, Catherine, discusses her prep school with the newly enrolled Cecile and her mother, Mrs. Caldwell. Catherine promises Mrs. Caldwell that she will look out for the naive, immature Cecile. When Sebastian enters the room, Mrs. Caldwell reacts to him coldly and leaves with Cecile. Sebastian questions Catherine's motivations and she reveals that her intentions to use Cecile to take revenge on her ex-lover, Court Reynolds, who dumped her for Cecile. Catherine asks Sebastian to seduce Cecile, thereby spoiling her in court's eyes. Sebastian refuses because he's planning to seduce Annette Hargrove, the headmaster's virgin daughter, who has published an essay in support of chastity until marriage.
A scandalo.
A scandalo.
All right, let's unpack that.
So much.
Yeah, I was like, I thought this guy was like supposed to be in college when he was hitting on his therapist, and just like the way Sebastian was behaving towards his therapist at the beginning of the movie, I was like, this is gross, and she should probably set some like harder boundaries with him, because ew.
I don't right. think she cares.
Yeah, I don't think she cared either.
She's just trying to make money.
I think this is 2 points here. There's some really great acting done by Ryan Phillippe, and then also like the character development for Sebastian here, because every single thing he says is totally contrived, and you can tell. I mean, it's weird to me that like, well, not weird to me, but like the therapist obviously doesn't care, but she doesn't notice
because she's not interested,
right?
She's a bad therapist.
Yeah, he plays everyone, and some people are so wrapped they don't see it. But it also, I think that we're supposed to believe that these wealthy people and these wealthy teenagers have been raised in such a way that they're different than normal people. Like, we're supposed to believe that they're more mature, you know,
they're more sexually advanced just because,
well, more worldly.
Yeah.
Like not just sexual, just like the car he's chosen to drive, the their way wardrobe. He chooses to dress.
Oh, so he's like very like sophisticated.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to see that they're rich, they're sophisticated, so of course they're smarter, so of course they do everything first and better. But also, like, this is not supposed to be set in a high school. It's not supposed to be set with these aged people. These are supposed to be like older people who are playing, like, it's older aristocrat bored people who are playing around. It's not supposed to be everyone is the same age. And I mean, I believe that in the actual like Dangerous Liaisons, that like Cecile is way younger than Sebastian and Catherine.
Yeah, like they're supposed to be adults in like the book, like the original books for the screenplay.
So I don't we're going to have a lot of issues when we keep talking about everything happening as teenagers, because I think that's an overall giant problem that I don't know if the filmmakers really cared about or thought about, because this came out at a time where everybody was trying to make a teen movie. They were realizing that teenagers were the ones, but they also rated it R. And that's a big thing too. When you're not trying to hit a teen audience, you're trying to target adults. And then you're thinking about, well, adults are watching this movie thinking about, God, I wish I could have had a life like this.
And it's like, that's what I hope the intent is, because otherwise you're just like sexualizing high schoolers, which is bad. Very bad.
Yes. Done all of the time in every TV show. Like fucking Riverdale, Sabrina, every fucking Vampire Diaries, mm-hmm. all the way back to, I mean, even Buffy and Gossip Girl. And it's
pretty all little the time
it's done. And I don't know what reason it's done for. Like everyone makes it seem like high school is like this perfect time in your life where everything. I don't know.
Absolutely not.
And no, I'm glad. So glad to be done with that.
Everyone's acting so much older than they actually are. And we're thinking about this film being made in 1999. And now it's definitely attached to our culture. I mean, of what a real high schooler or a real person is trying to be like. That's why people need to have sex ed and not just fucking abstinence talk.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Don't even get me started.
I know. So yeah, so that is a problem here, that everything has happened, just like with Wild Things, because everything that's happening is happening with people who are in high school. It's got this icky factor.
Right.
At least this is just all people in high school, like, having sex with each other. Except, yeah. I don't know if we got to it yet. I'm very confused about Ronald. I don't think Ronald's in high school.
He doesn't look like he is.
No. And, like, the conversation that Catherine had with Bunny about Ronald, she insinuated that he was older than her. Like, he so also, much older.
He also has a job. He's a...
Right.
He's teaching her. He's a tutor.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was just, like, a student who, like... he didn't look it. So, like, that would be... That's a bigger issue, I think, than anything in the movie. And I don't know if we've got to it yet. When he's a... like, later on, he's going to say, I never even touched her. And he's clearly, like...
Trying.
Well, he's like, rubbing his face all over her hair. And, like they're, like, sitting, like, right next to one another.
Well,
like,
he sits behind her and shows her how to play the cello and, like, touches her neck.
Yeah,
and,
that's, like... clearly, that's clearly touching her.
Right.
Liar face.
Yeah, so, yeah. And... she tries to show off her acrobatics later on, and he's just like, oh.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Anyway, back to the beginning.
So we've got the therapist here is played by Shluji Kurtz.
Okay, that's a crazy name.
She was in Bubble Boy.
Oh, my God, Bubble Boy.
And Liar Liar.
Yes, you guys, she was the lawyer.
I would love to do Bubble Boy. I loved that movie.
Yeah, we could do that. I would be down.
We'll have to see. I'll have to throw it into a nostalgia category somewhere down the line. The beginning of this film has a line that I think is in every late 90s movie ever, and it is psychobabble bullshit.
Yes.
That was bullshit. Like, the idea is anyone ever trying to talk to you about your mental health. It's psychobabble bullshit.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Whenever Sebastian said, God, you're beautiful, or not God, you're beautiful, when he says, you have great legs, I'd love to photograph them, and you're like skeeved out. But then when the daughter says it,
you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. That broke my heart for her.
You're like, that's a good setup. And like, the daughter's like, cut your psychobabble bullshit, there are pictures of me on the internet. And it's like, so again, in the first, however, like, throughout the entire fucking film, we are shown just how bad of a person Sebastian is. He's a really bad person. And he gets away with everything because of how hot he is.
And rich.
Don't forget rich, because you're hot doesn't mean you get away with shit. But if you're rich, you get away with everything.
Well, and then what's he get away with like, how does he actually win over Reese Witherspoon's character? Like, I got a problem with that in the movie too.
Yeah, like all of his conquests.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Like, why she would fall for it.
Yeah, why she fell for him.
Well, then, like...
Especially because he doesn't really act, like, any differently than, like, bad Sebastian when he's with her.
Exactly.
Until, like, the very end when he's, like, finally realizing that he loves her.
So it just becomes with her that she becomes sexually attracted to him. She's around him so much and, like, has this charming whatever. And then, like... she's the one who, like, literally later starts undoing his belt buckle and he can't have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, and it's this whole attitude again of, are you rich? Are you white? Like, in the beginning of the film, he pulls up to his house and waves at the dude telling him he can't park there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Entitlement. Tells a girl, God, you're beautiful, and then her name's Clarissa, and then later on, Catherine wipes her Coke nose.
Yeah, that's, like, the first thing we see about Catherine is her Coke nose.
Right.
Well, we get to see the nice two sides of Catherine.
Yeah, you see her when she turns to Jesus.
I love that. I love it. She's talking to Cecile and Cecile's mom, and she's put on this show, and she's all nicey-nice. Sebastian comes in, and he's like, nice to see you again, Mrs. Caldwell.
And he even, like, cups his hand into his mouth.
Right.
geez. And like, they're clearly talking about him. But like, the way, okay, so Sebastian walks in on Cecile and Catherine having their meeting. And it's just like, Cecile is just portrayed as just like the most naive, like,
yeah,
of all of them.
Yes, mm-hmm. Selma Blair fucking kills it.
She's the only one I believed was probably in high school.
She's older than all of them.
Yeah, she was 28 when they shot it.
All of them.
And I feel like, at, like, if this were actually like when I was that age, this is how these kids would have acted. And
right.
We were a little bit more immature at that age and like dressed like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you've seen those compare pictures, like me when I was 12 versus like
now. 12-year-olds now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, what Sebastian says, how are things down under?
Oh my gosh.
So gross.
And then later, when fucking the mom is like, keep your legs closed. This isn't Jamaica.
Oh my God, yeah.
Her character fucking kills me the whole movie, Mrs. Caldwell.
Yeah.
Like, it just like, but Kristen Baranski, she puts in like the realness. Like, she, you believe that she is that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the Karen.
And I don't know. Like, Ashley, you said something about like believing people were teenagers. With Sarah Michelle Gellar here, I don't know that it was about believing she was a teenager, but in this movie, she is something else in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Just her the depth, the levels like of her character and what she puts out through her cutting words and her actions versus then like who the character of Catherine actually is and how that's like hidden over. I don't know.
She's so meticulous. She plans everything, and Sarah will understand this, but she reminds me of Azula.
You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I hope I'm glad that you get that too. I was just laughing this whole time. I'm like, she's cold and calculated, just like her.
Yes. Give us a clue.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
Okay.
You must watch.
There we go. For us and any listeners who have no idea what that is.
Watching.
And if you do have exactly the idea of what we're talking about, well, we like you. We like you.
That's right. We like you anyway, though. But yes. Catherine probably would not, because I don't think Catherine has a soul or likes anybody.
No, she has
a soul. She's locked away inside of a box. Right. But every time she is on screen, every time they are talking to one another, there is that sexual tension and that chemistry. And when Sarah Michelle Gellar utters the words, be her Captain Picard.
Oh, I missed that.
Going to the unknown.
Yeah, talking about helping out with Cecile. It's just like, yes.
I will go wherever you tell me to go.
Yeah. And then you get the introduction of, because it's Sebastian who brings the magazine about Annette. Like, he's already been thinking about it, and he introduces the idea to Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where she's reading, and he reaches down and grabs her boob.
Yeah, that was
just a casual tit grab, you know.
That's right.
Your stepsister.
Did you catch who was on the cover of the magazine?
No.
It was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Huh.
Jennifer Love Hewitt starred with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh my God.
That came out a couple years before this movie.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so she was on the cover of the magazine.
That's
Sarah
really
Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe, they play boyfriend and girlfriend in that movie. And then Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe were actually, they were together during this movie.
Oh,
really?
And they got married and had kids together.
What?
Yeah.
Are they still married?
No, they got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But they had several kids. And I think like the older, like they were together for a while.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but he's the reason why she got the part, because I think somebody else dropped out, and he was like, the girlfriend was there, and the director was like, let's get her to do it. She didn't want to, and he was like, yeah, come on. And so, like, she came on for, like, 14 days of work and just had to, like, make like she was falling in love with her actual boyfriend.
Yes, huh. I was going to say their chemistry was really good. That makes total sense.
Yeah, they were actually together.
Huh.
So then he brings out the magazine, they read it, and he's telling her the idea. And at first, Catherine's hearing it like, what are you doing? And then I love how Catherine's face changes when she finds out that Annette's moving there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has a lot of face changes in this movie.
She does.
Lots of oh shit.
Well, because the whole character of Catherine is a facade. I mean, it's a fake even to herself. And so, like, well, she is always processing, feeling, thinking, like you see her, and like then what she says next sometimes, I don't even know if it's what she like thinks or agrees, because like, I mean, I think she's actually in love with Sebastian.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that's obvious, like to the end of the movie, but she kind of like, she doesn't play it. I mean, she plays it cool for the whole film really, mm-hmm. and then loses it at the end. And I think that has a lot to do with Sarah Michelle Gellar's I'm a huge fan, so I'm kind of biased, but I think she's a good actress.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too.
She really kills it in this movie.
Yeah,
she does. Yes.
After some negotiation, Sebastian and Catherine agree on a wager. If Sebastian fails to seduce Annette, Catherine gets Sebastian's vintage Jaguar. If he succeeds, Catherine will have sex with him, since Catherine is the only girl that Sebastian hasn't been able to sleep with. Sebastian's first attempt to befriend Annette fails, as she has already been informed about his bad reputation. Through a series of investigations, he discovers that Mrs. Caldwell warned Annette about him. Desperate for revenge, he finally agrees to corrupt Cecile, who has confided in Catherine about her romance with her older music teacher, Ronald Clifford. Catherine reveals that the romance to Mrs. Caldwell, who orders Cecile to end the relationship, her disapproval arising out of his race.
Oh my
god. All right, tons of stuff.
When she says that she has a problem because he's black, I about lost my shit.
I was
she says that it's worse than drugs. Catherine says worse than drugs.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking horrible.
Oh my god.
Mrs. Caldwell says he's so black.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, we've got a lot of things. Catherine also, when she's talking about Trevor, the boyfriend, being okay with Annette and waiting, that's she calls him a queer, and then you know, FAG.
Yes.
And then we have later on when Sebastian is talking to Blaine, they're very homophobic there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even
Even when he's talking to his gay friend, like...
Yeah, well, he makes it okay. He's like, no offense. Like, he's like, oh, I'm talking to you about this, so
right.
See, I'm not. But it's still perpetuating. And then, like, and then taking into account what happens later in the movie, it's like, it's showing like gay representation, and it's showing, like, male gay representation, not just, like, hot chicks who are allowed to be together. But then it very quickly cheapens it, because it makes it a joke. It makes it a blackmailable offense.
Right.
And it dirties the gay guy, because he sets the whole thing up just because he wants to.
Right.
Gregory doesn't know anything.
Well, don't they? Somebody also calls somebody a fudge packer, right? Who does
that? Sebastian says something about when your dad finds out you're a fudge packer.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That word was around everywhere. That was the word. I mean, even like people in my family used that word. It's awful. And you have I'm watching the movie though, and I'm remembering when Blaine is talking about Greg, and he says he's got a mouth like a Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's still something that people would say. But then I fucking love when he calls Greg on the phone and says, Gregory?
Yeah, and Gregory? He's like talking about how not gay he is.
I know, and it juxtaposes against, yeah, Greg is doing that, and you've got all of the women poster on the walls, and then yes. Talking about, like, suck it, and then, like, the Gregster, and all of this fucking shit.
Right.
And it's actually, like, really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad that, like, people feel like they have to be that closeted. That really sucks.
Right. To fake it that much.
Yeah.
To overcompensate even that much. To right. Just make sure that you're even that more secure that you're not, quote, found out.
Right.
I think, and what you're seeing is that, it's not been okay for people to come out. And anyone who has been extremely brave. Because you got, like, Greg in this film, who is so afraid of losing everything in his life just because of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be like, oh, the world is so much of a better place. And like, this is 1999. And people threw around calling things gay for decades.
When we were in high school and middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our culture, our society has found certain types of people who it's, quote, okay to make fun of. Heavy people, queer people. I mean, oh my God. I mean, trans people are treated so horribly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Can we just turn all this negative attention on the racists, the homophobes, and, like,
right.
The Nazis? Can we please do that?
Yeah, I wish that it could actually be like that. And, like, I wish that we could say today that a plot line like this wouldn't happen in a movie because, of course, anyone who does have, who's not straight, who is trying to hide or anything like that would be like, of course they could, you know, come out and be okay. And we wouldn't have this kind of blackmail type storyline that's allowed to happen. But I actually don't think that that's the truth.
No, and like there's so many kids that wait to come out about either their gender identity or their sexual orientation until they leave the house because it's not safe for them. And like that there's people in our community like that are going through that. That sucks.
Right.
And that is just played so horribly here. And the character of Greg, he ends up, in order to save himself, he throws his friend under the bus. He plays the part of espionage and lies directly to her face.
Yeah, one of the notes that I made was that lots of people are getting screwed just so Sebastian can have sex with Annette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well, at first, yeah, so he can have sex with Annette. And we cannot forget that Catherine tells him that you can put it anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
So what does that mean?
It could mean three things.
We know what that means.
Does that mean anal sex?
It could mean anal. Could mean oral.
Oral, yeah.
Oral sex. Vaginal. I mean, she turns around and she shows her ass.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she presents her bottom.
So they're showing you right away that a dude can have anal sex with a girl, and that's okay. But if the guys get together, that is blasphemy and leads to blackmail.
Yes, and you get called names for it.
Exactly. And you have to call yourself names, too, when you're talking to your straight friends, because they want to be made more comfortable about who you are.
I think it's in this section when Sebastian, this is a little bit of a subject change, but Sebastian is talking about, like, emails with, I think, I don't remember who it was, but he was just like, Ronald, oh yeah, he was talking to Ronald. He was like, Ronald, email is for geeks and pedophiles.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? Where does that come from?
That's all we use it for. Like, I don't know. We geeks and work. Like, we use email for literally everything now. And
I know.
In 99, that was people's view on on email. Like,
you know, I didn't give it a lot of thought. I really didn't start using email until I got to college. I mean, and that was not until, you know, 2003. And so, I mean, I didn't give it much thought. So to me, that line was just completely like, what the fuck, huh?
So my mom wouldn't let me get an email for a really, really long time. And I was supposed to be very careful because apparently pedophiles could get me in my email. This was in like 2007.
Oh my god. Going to
chat rooms.
But the joke was on her, it turns out. So.
Right. Jeez.
There is a lot of danger online. So that's not downplaying that. There's a lot of stuff that could happen. We were talking before about representation of LGBT, and whenever Sebastian is first meeting Annette and talking about how she wants to wait, he says, "Are you a lesbian?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
What?
It's like, should I stop trying to seduce you, or should I try harder to seduce you? Like, I don't know.
No, because the idea that she wouldn't just want...
Well, it's used as, like, a tool here to, like, for him to try to kind of, like, intimidate or push her.
Oh, he like, does that the whole movie.
Yeah, and because it's insinuating that if she doesn't want to have sex, then she can't possibly be heterosexual. She's got to be dirty gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like later on, he calls her a hypocrite, and that's what makes her want to address him.
Right.
Yeah, he
shoves her straight into it.
Exactly. Yeah. But then, so you have in this movie that's supposed to like be for people of this time, you're not really cool for LGB at all.
No.
Horrible representation, horrible way to talk about people. But it doesn't matter because you have like, pretty people saying it.
When he apologized for offending Annette, and it's like, why would being gay be an offensive thing? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so we know they don't do a very good job with that. That's something that is kind of strange and upsetting. We'll maybe more on that later. I want to talk about Annette and her manifesto and the fact that she says that people should not experience the act of love until they are in love. And that's fucking annoying.
like how many people just have sex because they just need to have sex?
Yeah. Like I don't understand the stigma that we've put on sex to where sex, I mean, I just don't understand that. And like, and you've got on one side Sebastian who completely ruins it, and on the other side you've got Annette who doesn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both in the wrong with what they're saying or talking about or like, and she says that people who are her age should not be engaging in sex, and I am totally behind that. Dumbasses don't need to procreate, but they're gonna do it, and they need to be safe if they're doing it. But people don't need to be shamed.
No, they don't need to be shamed. People need to be taught what it is, how to have a healthy sex life, and like, I don't know, I think that needs to start like early,
right? But, well, I mean, because they make it all such a fucking mystery until you get to a certain age, and then all they show you is like a very small tidbit of what actually happens, and you have no fucking clue what happens or what you're doing until much, much later. Like, you have no fucking clue.
For like in school, they show you like feel like film strips or videos about yourself,
right?
Well, yeah, and like in the school that we were in, there was no sex ed. It was like here's a diagram, but like did not show how the diagrams interacted or worked.
Yeah,
and only showed what bad things could happen to you, not anything else.
Yeah, to keep you scared.
Yes.
And Sebastian says most people are sheep.
Yeah.
And then you got Annette, you know, so the act of, so we call sex the act of love. Sex is sex.
Yes.
And then, like, you have sex with someone you love, or, like, you have sex because it feels good.
And there can be many different emotions behind the act of sex.
Right.
And so I'm wondering here, like when people are watching the movie, whose side are they supposed to be on? Like, are you supposed to be rooting for Sebastian to get Annette to break her ideology? Or are you supposed to be rooting for Annette to fix and change Sebastian, which in itself is a toxic fucking idea to put into society and is damaging to men and women?
Say, I didn't root for either or any of them in this movie. It was very...
Yeah, I felt that way too. It was more like I was just watching it unfold.
Yeah.
Like, not wanting it to go, like,
the way it was going. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was just like, I was like, there's no way I'm supposed to be rooting for Sebastian because he's a dick, and we've been shown that he's a dick. And he's like, very predatory about the way that he goes about sex. And, like, and she just has no clue.
Exactly.
So then we have Cecile and Catherine. Now, these two characters, did you know that this film won an MTV Movie Award?
No.
Was it for The Kiss?
It was for The Kiss.
I remember that.
Best Kiss. And I love when you have Cecile talking about Court, and about how Court is talking about this ex-girlfriend who's some bulimic head case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine pulls her hair because he's talking about Catherine.
Yeah.
And, like, throughout the course of the movie, you get these bits of who Catherine is. Like, even mm-hmm. when she's talking about, like, she went to great lengths to prove, to, like, please Court. She's, like, going down on him while he's passed out drunk in his car.
Yuck.
Like, what kind of life does Catherine have? They talk about their parents. Like, she suspects that your alcoholic, impotent, whatever of a father is diddling the maid.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, these, they're damaged. These kids are damaged.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, they need help. I feel like she's was seeing in Court, like, her financial future, basically.
Uh-huh.
Like, she was trying to set up, like, being with him, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And then she's like already stole that.
Right.
She's already using hard drugs. Like, she's fucked up.
But what do you think? So we're not on Catherine's side either, I guess. Although no. I watched the movie and I'm on Catherine's side.
Well, that's because of the actress.
Well, and, but also I like the character too. I mean, she's evil, but there's a soft spot for the evil, because there's got to be a reason why.
It's because it's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
It's probably that's because why. It's Sarah Michelle Gellar. But so, you have Cecile, who gets wrapped up in everything, and I don't know if we're really rooting for, like, do we care enough about her? Like,
I think it's more about you feel sorry for her.
And could you pull a Catherine? Could you hate somebody so much and be ruining their lives and then also be as cool as she is?
Absolutely, like, not.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is a great actress, but Catherine is a fucking great actress.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I could ruin somebody else's life to ruin the life of somebody that did me wrong. It depends on what they did to me.
Like, you could ruin somebody's life, but you couldn't break other people to do it.
I wouldn't use other people to do it. I would make them, I would pay them back only them. Like,
if I needed other people to help me ruin their life, I would at least want them to know what I'm playing with.
To be aware that they're helping me ruin somebody's life.
Yeah.
And they, like, choose to help me ruin somebody's life.
That's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Than wrecking somebody.
Right.
We've got some strange in this section. We have a couple of voyeur things where Sebastian sets up Annette to walk in on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his backside, and he turns and gives her a full frontal.
Yeah.
And oh my God. So we'll talk about that. And then
then Lainey says, "Will you turn around, please?"
Oh, exactly. Like, so, like, she turns around so slowly and stands there. And then in the same section, somehow Catherine has a video camera feed on Cecile and Ronald.
Right, yeah.
And sees Cecile tell him to peace out.
I have a question before we move on. So it goes back to the kiss between Catherine and Cecile. Did any of you guys practice first base with your friends? Is that like a normal thing that happened back in the day?
Yes.
I don't know how normal. I guess we could say it's probably normal. Yeah.
I would say it was normal. I didn't do it with a friend, just like a kid I knew at school.
I didn't know it was normal then, I tell you.
Yeah. I don't think, Sarah, we didn't practice together, but I think we, like, practiced with people we knew.
Yes, we did.
So that, and they really zoom in on that little piece of spittle that hangs between the lips to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
And what I remember from this kiss is that, and watching it again, is that they're talking about teaching Cecile how to kiss, and she's the one who uses her tongue.
Yeah, she's very aggressive with it. Yeah, in like, the movie. She's also leans in after they're done, too. Like,
yeah,
she was one of those, like, nom, nom.
More. That was the first step of experimenting and practicing.
Right.
It did not stop there. So we've got the Catherine setting up the camera, which is, I mean, like, what the fuck? And then we have Sebastian setting up Annette. So, I mean, these are both manipulative, like,
voyeuristic.
Yeah, like boundary crossing. I don't know. Like, how did Catherine, how did Catherine get a camera in there? What the fuck is that?
Well, she just told somebody, go put a camera in here. That's what she did.
Right. Or, like, she's rich. She's got money.
She set the camera there when she was visiting, or she had Maylene do it.
I would assume that she had somebody else do it because she would not do it herself. You know, she would not do that herself.
The other thing I wondered about is, like, Catherine was, like, you know, trying to talk to Cecile about different things they could do to move her relationship with Ronald forward. And so I was like, did they just arrange to do this, the two of them, so that she could go back to, like, Catherine for feedback? Cecile knew
she was on camera?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that does seem like some sort of strange, like, friend plan that might be hatched. Like, yeah, like a play-by-play.
And we're led to believe that Cecile is naive enough to believe exactly anything. So
yeah. Okay, so Sebastian, setting it up so Annette walks in naked. He's trying to get the picture of him naked into her so that no matter what happens now, she'll always see him naked.
It was a pretty nice butt.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very nice butt. But unless I'm of the opinion that unless it's complete accident, you shouldn't show your nude self to somebody who is not asking to see your nude self.
This was not an accident.
No.
No.
I mean, I don't think anybody would be mad. But definitely when he knows that Annette is supposed to be waiting, I mean, he's pushing. But Annette doesn't just walk away. It's like, is that believable? She's like, oh my god. Like, she gets embarrassed. Like, she's not fucking thinking he's doing this on purpose.
Well, she also sprays herself with perfume. Yeah,
she does.
Before she even ever goes. And you get in the pool, girl. You are getting in the pool.
Right.
Like,
she was already, in the words of Alyssa Edwards, intrigued. She was intrigued.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know. When I was that age, I would have, like, definitely tried to avert my eyes quickly if I, like, walked in on a classmate naked on accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just turn around or something.
Like, oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Well, so you've got a lot of stuff in this movie already. You have blackmail. you have ill talk of homosexuality. You have like underage drug use, and you've got all of the horrible black and white relationship hating, and you just got a bunch of really evil people. You're just watching a movie with a bunch of dumb evil people.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know about that's dumb, but
well, Cecile, Ronald.
Yeah.
I mean, Mrs. I mean, like, Catherine Caldwell. Is, like,
definitely not dumb.
Yeah, that's what she falls in the evil category.
Right.
And yeah. Sebastian is smart. He's just very manipulative, and that's how he uses his smarts.
Now let's take a break and hear about our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Sebastian lures Cecile to his house, offering a letter from Ronald. He then gets her drunk and blackmails her in order to trick her into allowing him to perform oral sex on her. The next day, Cecile once again confides in Catherine, who advises her to be as promiscuous as possible to learn how to please Ronald. As their relationship deepens, Sebastian begins to truly fall in love with Annette, who returns his feelings but is still hesitant. Sebastian calls her a hypocrite because although she claims to be waiting for her one true love, she resists him when he chooses to love her back. Annette finally relents, but Sebastian, confused about his own feelings, refuses her out of shame. Annette flees to the estate of her friend's parents, but Sebastian eventually tracks her down, professing his love, and they consummate their relationship. After Catherine offers herself to Sebastian for winning the bet, he rejects her because he now only wants Annette, which leaves Catherine enraged and jealous.
I would like to personally say fuck Sebastian for assaulting Cecile.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was going to say too. That I have a huge problem with that.
And fuck Catherine for making her like not believe that it happened. Like, what?
Yeah. He's doing this the whole time that he's supposed to be falling in love with Annette. And in one moment, he's not going to be able to have sex with her. But in this moment, he's literally taking advantage of Cecile. And Cecile is not, like, 18. Cecile's not a senior.
No.
Right?
No. I don't think so.
And
I don't think it's said, so.
And he's fucking, she's like, oh, this is a, I've never had an iced tea like this before.
Yeah, so he got her drunk.
Long Island.
Yeah. And then, like, coerced her into...
Well, because telling someone you want to kiss them, and then he made it seem like she was, like...
In the wrong, and she denied him.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he, like, made her promise that he mm-hmm. could kiss her.
Which is shit that I'm sure happens to people all of the fucking time.
Exactly.
It's obvious that he has done this all yes. of the fucking time.
Yep.
And then... You have when Catherine and Cecile talk about it. And Catherine knows, and she makes Cecile feel that it was an okay thing that happened.
Yeah, she just spins it completely differently. And Cecile's like, oh.
She's like, because you had an orgasm.
Yeah, so just because she had an orgasm, that makes it better.
No.
No, it doesn't, but. She's making it seem like to Cecile.
And then later on, Cecile's going to want, they have sex. So he takes Cecile's virginity. Sebastian does. Mm-hmm. Days before, he's going to profess his love to Annette. And then when she wants to have sex again, he shoves her off the bed.
Yeah.
And that was a comedy scene. I remember that was a laugh moment in the movie.
Ooh, yikes. I did not read it like a comedy moment.
Oh, no. Oh no.
I didn't either.
But Cecile is played for comedy in this movie.
Yeah.
And when she says, do you want a blowjob? She's played as desperate and dumb. And it's almost set up like it's okay that he's horrible to her.
Right.
Because then a few scenes later, he gets a love song and has sex with Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm. It's that whole slut stud like dichotomy thing again, where like she's had sex and she is like acting maybe interested in it and pleased with it mm-hmm. and wants to explore more, and she's shamed for it.
Which takes me
thrown off the bed like trash for it.
Yeah.
which takes me to my favorite quote of the movie, which was actually from Catherine, the beginning of the movie. And it was, you know, guys, like, you get to fuck around with whoever you want. God forbid I exude confidence and enjoy sex. Do you think I relish in the fact that I have to act like Mary Sunshine 24/7 so I can be considered a lady? Like,
she says, a Marsha fucking Brady of the Upper East Side.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. There's more to Catherine. There's more to Catherine. I think there's more to Catherine than there is to Sebastian.
Yeah, I think
I would agree with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of what Sebastian is thinking about leads to sex, and Catherine is also thinking about sex, but like playing people and advancing her position.
I think that Sebastian wants conquest, and I think that Catherine wants, I don't think there's another C word that might match conquest. I don't like comfort. Like I think Catherine wants to be wanted.
Yeah.
By someone she wants, but like, I don't know if it's about being taken care of or like, I don't know if she wants something real, but Sebastian just wants to fuck around. I mean, Catherine fucks around too, but the only person that she's shown fucking, she's doing for like a purpose. She's using Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
And we never even see her actually having sex with Ronald, only set up to look like that.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that she's a lot of talk and a lot of show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do you think that she's always, like, why does she do drugs? I mean, she's not a happy person. And no. Why is she so evil to everybody else?
She's miserable.
But Sebastian gets this arc in the movie because he makes a good choice one time to not sleep with Annette. He becomes like hero worthy of the movie. And then when he denies Catherine, she becomes the major villain. Like, they're the two villains throughout the whole movie. And then as soon as Sebastian sleeps with Annette, everything's supposed to shift, and now we're supposed to be set up for Catherine to be the one who is truly evil. Mm-hmm. And I just don't fucking buy that. You know the fucking scene where Sebastian lies about helping the old lady play backgammon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Annette makes him laugh in the car, and Sebastian's like, she makes me laugh. Like, you're fucking narcissistic and goddamn evil. You lied to her not more than 20 minutes before she, quote, made you laugh. And now you're falling in love with her. But, like, what she's falling in love with is not you. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't buy into the he's a good guy. I was just like, maybe he's starting to learn and maybe he's starting to make good choices, but like, he's still very immature, manipulative, a predator. And yeah, I still don't like Sebastian.
No, but they give you Catherine standing on a balcony with evil music playing. It's like they Eved her. They Lilithed her. Like, mm-hmm. Sebastian is glorious Adam and every other female is sin.
Yep. Yeah. Because they know what they want.
Yeah. Side note, I do like how they flash to the Gregster and he's going through all his music to save and he decides to save his Judy Garland.
Yes.
His Judy, Judy, Judy.
Yes.
I like it. Live your life, Gregster.
Be as gay as you want.
That's right.
Sebastian informs Catherine that he was planning to tell Annette the truth, but Catherine warns him that doing so will destroy both his and Annette's reputations. So Sebastian lies to Annette, claiming he just wanted to see what she was like in bed and that he has had no real feelings for her. Devastated, Annette forces him to leave. Returning home, Sebastian informs Catherine that he has broken up with Annette and now wants his reward, but Catherine reveals that he was the true target of her scheme. For her own amusement, she manipulated him into abandoning Annette once she realized that he truly loved her. She then dismisses him, telling him that she doesn't sleep with losers.
And see, that's all a lie. That was not her plan. That's what she turned around and spun.
Yeah, right. Once he actually like fell for Annette, then she's like, no, now I can't have him. So I'm going to destroy that.
Yeah. She made herself vulnerable. She pushed herself on him and was told no. And she felt humiliated.
Mm-hmm. And it's also obviously something she really wanted. It's like a way, it was like her way into that kind of relationship with Sebastian. And now that's ruined.
Mm-hmm. And now it'll never be the same.
So Sebastian breaks it off with Annette. And tells her that he doesn't really love her, but he had sex with her.
Yeah, but he says that he lied to her about it just so he could have sex with her.
So he tries, what's his reasoning? What's he trying to do when he says that? He's trying to push her away.
He's trying to push her away because Catherine convinced him that he's just a bad person and he can't change.
Well, and because of their reputations. Right. If they start going out, dating, everyone will know because of Sebastian's reputation that she's been sleeping with him, even though she said she was waiting. So, her reputation would be destroyed and his reputation would be destroyed because he's supposed to be this ladies' man, you know.
Yeah,
tied down.
He should have just said okay.
Yeah.
But still, he is evil. He calls Annette a hypocrite in order to get her to sleep and then leaves her crying alone. And then all he has to do is stand up at the top of an escalator and the next moment he's having sex.
Yeah.
It all turns on Catherine. And then because of Catherine's rage and because of the things that she says, it is making it okay for us to more accept what we're working towards the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be painted as a monster.
Yeah. And I just don't buy that she's than Sebastian.
Right.
And I don't know. She's definitely she's a victim, but she is a monster. She's a pretty horrible person, but I'm just thinking about reasons. What are the reasons she has versus what are the reasons Sebastian has? And then I'm just pissed that I don't know what it is that makes Sebastian able to
be redeemed. Nothing. It's just that's the way the movie is supposed to paint it.
Yeah, I don't think he was redeemable, but
for Annette.
For Annette to accept him back,
But I guess it's not just, it's not just the words.
I don't know. I think they tried to make it seem like he's starting to show remorse and, become more vulnerable himself. But, he still has a lot more work to do.
Hells yeah.
This is by no means the redemption arc.
Well, part of what Catherine was saying was right, is that your reputation does follow and it does then make it harder or easier to be something else in the future. He was going to have to work at what everyone else was going to assume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's was Sebastian going to be able to do that? Or was he going to cave and then eventually end up hurting Annette? Maybe he wouldn't have had a redemption if the end of the movie didn't go like it did.
Oh my God.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that, Justin, all the questions that you have about Catherine just make me think that you are seriously going to love Azula in Avatar The Last Airbender, and you guys should watch it.
We'll have to make a chart, and we'll have to report as we watch episodes of Buffy and The Last Airbender.
Yes.
And we'll keep a balance. I've watched this, now you've watched that.
Yes.
That's what we'll have to work out.
Yes.
Sebastian desperately tries to contact Annette to confess the truth and beg for a second chance, but she refuses to see him. He gives her his journal, in which he has detailed Catherine's manipulative schemes, their bet, and his true feelings for Annette. One morning, Ronald starts a fist fight with Sebastian in the street after Catherine lies to him, saying that Sebastian hit her and violated Cecile as well. Annette sees the commotion and tries to intervene, but is thrown into traffic. After narrowly pushing her to safety, Sebastian is hit by a taxi. He confesses his love for Annette before dying. She reciprocates it, and Ronald, now remorseful after realizing he was manipulated, kneels in the street with Annette to tend to a dying Sebastian.
So here's where it gets harder to like Catherine.
Yeah. What the fuck? That was fucked up.
That's so wrong.
That's very wrong.
It's like no regard for humanity. She is just scorned. She's fucking angry.
And she matters above all else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was terrible. But can he also,
Sebastian, really did.
Yes.
But anyways.
The kissing thing with going down on her, I think we're supposed to assume, she chose to have sex with him when she chose to have sex with him.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but he still did. Yeah.
What I want to talk about is Ronald's laid a claim over Cecile.
Right.
After he just apparently wanted to have sex with Catherine. Now he's got to fight Sebastian for Cecile. What's that all about?
It's the toxic masculinity.
It's everywhere.
Just when you think it's gone. No. That's not okay. No. It was hard for me to believe that he cared that much after he was doing all this stuff with Catherine.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it believable that he acts like that?
Not really. No. To me, no.
Especially because, you would have a cool down period from the time she called to the time he's, walking there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're walking down the street to get there. And
he's stewing, though.
She is also a high school student. And it's like, why the fuck does he just assume he can do this when she should have adults that are taking care of this?
You're right. I keep forgetting he's not one of these. Because they're all adults playing high school. And I forget that he's not. Because this movie comes out. And he's going to play a high school student and save the last dance in 2 years.
What?
Yeah, he does not look like
the guy who plays Ronald plays a high school student and save the last dance.
He is, he is very mature looking.
I know. So I keep forgetting that. But yeah, it's all fucked up. Anyway, Sebastian gets hit by a car. And I think that's the reason why he's able to be redeemed. If he lived, I don't think he could.
The last thing he did was a nice thing. So, I don't know. I also don't think we have to romanticize the dead. People speak highly of assholes that are dead, and I don't think we should have to do that.
Doesn't magically make them a nice person.
Millennial Movie Mix also endorses the dancing on top of graves.
Some of us have actually done it.
You have, yes.
I totally agree, but this movie doesn't do that. As soon as he dies, everything is, he's perfect.
Let's not forget one of the last bad things he did was interrupt a nice party full of adults. He went to Annette's parents and just started screaming. No, I'd be pissed. Anyway.
When the woman lies to him and says that Annette's not there, but she's inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I was like, he got hit by the car, and I was like, oh shit, that's not good. At least he's talking to her. And the next scene is his portrait at the funeral.
So he has this journal, and this journal is a scrapbook journal. This is one, he was made fun of for keeping the journal because only gay people would keep a journal. He's got cutout pictures. He has drawings and doodles. He spent time on this journal.
Mm-hmm. I have two things to say about this journal. One, I had a journal that looked a lot like this, and it was really fun. Two, as soon as he opens the journal, I was watching this with my husband. He was like, "Shit, he's a skilled scrapbooker, man."
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. He took his time with it. He did it right because he knew it would be mass produced later for everyone to read.
Yeah, because he was that narcissistic.
That's right.
In her eulogy at Sebastian's funeral, Catherine says she tried to set an example for her late brother. When people start leaving midway through her speech, Catherine rushes outside to find Cecile handing out copies of Sebastian's journal. As the details of her manipulations and drug addiction are made public, Catherine's reputation is finally destroyed and further buried when the headmaster finds the cocaine hidden in her rosary. Ronald also writes a detailed confession and how she lied to him about Cecile's promiscuity and about Sebastian abusing her. Annette drives away in Sebastian's car with his journal at her side, recalling their fondest moments together.
Why does a 17-year-old get her 17-year-old deceased boyfriend's car?
I also thought that. I was like, how did she get the car?
Yeah, so everything at the end just had to be, look at Catherine as the villain, look at how people can change, and Annette is going, she's the true hero of the movie, and she's driving off to be better because of everything that happened to her. And everything falls on Catherine. And I mean, Catherine lied about being abused, and that's horribly wrong. Sebastian abused people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So yeah, I don't know how to feel. The punishments for being evil are death or humiliation.
Good.
And humiliation was like death for her. But man, can Sarah Michelle Gellar cry?
Oh yeah.
Can she
so
act?
Can she act?
I have two questions for you guys. The first question is, were burn books just like a normal thing like in the 90s? No. Okay.
No.
And did this movie at all remind you guys of Mean Girls?
No. I don't think so.
It kind of reminded me of Mean Girls a little bit with, you know, like Catherine and like Regina just like being miserable. And
I feel like Catherine would just eat Regina George.
Oh, she would. She would absolutely eat her alive.
Exactly.
But just like them using people, and then there's they're kind of like opposite stories, but it's like in Cruel Intentions, we have the bully, the manipulative guy trying to get the nice girl, and then it's just flip-flopped in Mean Girls, the nice girl trying to get the manipulative person. I don't know.
Has a little bit of like Grease in there.
A little bit of grease.
All right, so I mean, this movie is jam-packed full of just what the fuck moments. I don't even think we talked about, I mean, Catherine and Sebastian are not real siblings, but they're step siblings, brother and sister, and they want to fuck each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a whole point of the movie.
Right.
So this could be a very triggering film. So we've got to talk about snowflake ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go?
Guys.
What?
Do we cancel this movie? There's some really problematic things.
What is so problematic that it's canceled?
Just like section, I don't know, guys.
Sarah, I don't know if I would cancel it. No, I don't think I would cancel it, no. But, I mean, I would at least give it 2. At least. Because of the drugs, the fudge packer, like, it was a lot of manipulation. They took advantage of Cecile a lot. Like, she got fucked over a lot.
Lots of people did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would give it at least a 2.
Because in real life today, there has been enough change that the items in this movie would not play the same today, mostly, right? the treatment of Cecile, the toxic masculinity. I mean, I still think that we have the issues with LGBT and
I feel like we still have those issues today, but they're not quite as bad. Like, it's improved a little bit, but not to the extent that you would want it to be at. You know what I mean?
You at least wouldn't see it represented this way.
Ashley, right. What's a four?
I was going to go with a four, actually. Four is going on a rant about it with, like, people you know. And I did. So I was like,
yeah.
Why are we, like, sexualizing these high schoolers? Why are we, you know, portrait? Right. I don't know. Why are we making it seem cool to treat women the way this guy does? Why is it funny to treat this girl the way that Sebastian treated these girls? I don't know. Just all this stuff.
Yeah, that you probably would not see from a film today where culture is more woke.
Right.
Yeah. I think I would definitely probably have to go with a two at minimum for thankful for social change. It's weird. Like, you have a movie where they use gay slurs, but they actually show you gay people. And that's something that didn't always exist. And you had like Joshua Jackson was a star. I mean, he was in Mighty Ducks. He goes on to Dawson's Creek, and he was playing this gay character who had a straight friend and talked normally, and still then, like, you have the slurs.
It's tainted, though, because he's painted in such a bad light, because he manipulates everything about that meeting.
Sometimes any kind of light was good, though.
True. But, yeah. But I don't like the way any of that was portrayed.
I think he was forced into a lot of the bad things he did, just trying to protect himself because it wasn't safe for him to be out yet.
Yeah. I think it also showed that he was a drug dealer.
Oh, yeah. I did not see that.
I think he was also, I think he had a scale in front of him. I think he was bagging up drugs when he was talking to Sebastian.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, it gives you a weird representation, but it gave a representation, and that was something. So I think that I'm going to recommend Cruel Intentions. I think that it is a, when you're like summer of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I think this movie has it. It's got the killer soundtrack moments. It has Catherine looking to Jesus, and my God, it's got Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe, and they never actually do it, so it's just full of sexual tension goodness.
And I didn't give my Snowflake rating, so I'll do that really fast, but I was coming in at a solid three, maybe 3.5, but I think that I probably also would recommend this movie, but just because it was like one of those movies that I saw, this is a movie I saw 1,000 times.
Yes.
This is a movie that was like, I liked this movie because it was a good movie, not because I loved the characters in it or something like that. It's because it was an intriguing movie to watch, really. So, I mean, I would recommend this to somebody who was looking for, like, you know, a, kind of like a thrilling movie to watch.
It was a naughty movie to watch at the time. Yeah, they were talking about naughty stuff. They said naughty words. They showed you naughty things. And they looked really good doing it.
I wouldn't recommend it to just anyone, but I would recommend it.
Yeah, I would say I would recommend this one. Not like, super, you know, like aggressively or anything, but if someone was asking me about it, I'd be like, yeah, it's a good movie, watch it.
Like if somebody said, I know Sarah Michelle Gellar's in Buffy, but I mean, is she a good actress? I'd be like, have you seen Cruel Intentions?
You should watch that.
Yeah, because it is really good acting.
Right.
She's amazing.
The acting,
Ashley, do you recommend?
So the acting's really good, but I don't think I would recommend it. I just wasn't like a huge fan of the plot. I don't know if my mind would be changed at all if these were like originally intended like adults doing these things. But I just think it's kind of fucked up that it's kids doing these things. So,
Yeah. I think that definitely, I think I am suffering from nostalgia syndrome.
Yeah.
Like this movie was my teenage. I mean, I said it came out when I was 14 and I had it on VHS. I bought it on DVD. I watched it all of the time, over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm really tainted on this one.
Yeah, I'm sure that I am too.
And like even like a movie that like Wild Things or like way back when we did like Home Alone 2, I was surprised that I was like, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Or like even like American Pie.
Yeah. Thinking about how you wouldn't recommend.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. But this one, I don't think that I'm broken on it. I think this movie is so ingrained in me that I just have. It's just, yeah.
Well, like,
but I can totally understand you, Ashley.
Oh yeah, me too. But like for me, it's like sometimes I weigh like the entertainment value of it against like how triggering it might be for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is like an entertaining movie to watch. So I would recommend it on that aspect alone, not like based on,
yeah,
triggering.
Sure.
So that is Cruel Intentions. And hey, did you know that Sarah Michelle Gellar is Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Holy connection. Shit.
Just throw that out there. Connection.
And I don't know if I'll post that one because it's so easy. But if I do, it'll be on Facebook at Millennial Movie Mix.
And you can keep up with us on Instagram at Millennial Movie Mix Podcast.
And don't forget to join us next for Showgirls from 1995.
And just to be clear, I've seen Showgirls.
I've seen it long ago and far away.
I have not. I don't think.
Nope.
So remember, here at the Millennial Movie Mix, we are equal opportunity film reviewers. And so we are jumping into Showgirls. If you want to come back and listen to what we have to say, if you have no idea what that movie is, go watch it now and come back next Monday.
Yeah, and join us to listen what we have to say about it.
That's right. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and catch you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.